Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the Harrison Boone Podcast.
Is it impact that cauliflower's the year, or is it squeezing that cauliflower's the year?
It's usually impact. Usually, you see a lot of rugby players using the scrums.
Yeah.
They whack each other in sides. But with my one, I remember that one started with a...
That's so fat.
Yeah, I know.
It's like a big ball of fat on your ear.
That's what they feel like.
It's gone like cartilage.
Calcified, yeah. It is. It's the neutral side. It just calcifies. They're cool. It happens once. Because they get away. It's fucking painful. When it first happens, it's so painful. But then after, mine happened like 5 years ago now. So it's been sweet for a while. But like now, they get...
So once they go hard, they don't hurt anymore.
Once, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, he's my still.
This one, fairly fresh. Nothing. Just up the top here hurts. The bottom, nothing. Like, this one, Pete will have a good try. Try to crush it, he won't. Yeah, he won't have it. It's not...
Can we pierce them while you're here? On the
plate? put a big bar through it.
Yeah, you need a freaking drill through it.
Yeah, I'm a chippy bro. I've got everything. Can we shoot it with an nail gun?
Oh, fuck. No. I'm not into that.
I thought you were tough.
Not that tough.
There is a line.
No, that's... Yeah, that's a line. A
little 1-8 drill bit all the way through. Imagine that.
So Peter and I met at a bow tie boy event at a gay party.
Oh, that's right.
So for those that don't know, I'm sitting here with Peter Gallen and...
Jordan Dickey.
Your last name?
Dickey.
Jordan Dickey. And my guests today are here to talk about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Peter's one of the top grapplers in Australia?
Currently, yeah, I'd say I'm ranked fairly high at the moment. I do a lot of competing. I have been beaten a few times by some high-level guys, but I do like to consider myself one of the best purple belts in the country, yes. And then... Yeah,
give us your resume.
My resume, I've been training since I was 10 years old. I'm 18 years now, 19 next month.
What are you going to do for it?
Probably nothing crazy, because got to save, you know. Trying to go back to Brazil this year, you know.
What's the training like in Brazil compared to Australia? Is it like a whole nother level?
It's another thing. Like, I've kind of taken what I did there and I'm replicating it back here. So now I'm working a lot less, I'm training more, like... Today, for example, I woke up 5 a.m. this morning, went to the gym to be there at 6 for the 6 till 7 strength and conditioning. And then straight after, I studied jiu-jitsu for an hour. I got a little book I write in. And then after that, had something quickly to eat, chill for a bit, had a little nap, and then I went to the 12 o'clock class. That's for an hour. did some like drills and then some sparring, and then went home, had a quick meal, went back to the gym and taught the class, and we just got back from the gym then.
Nice. So your life is basically jiu-jitsu at this point?
At this point, yeah.
Like full-time job?
Full-time, yeah. Like, I go, train, teach.
So you're teaching classes as well?
I teach the kids, yeah.
So what belt are you?
I'm blue belt now.
You're a blue belt.
But I have like 8 years of jiu-jitsu. So like, if I started when I was an adult, if I was 18, now I'd be like brown belt. So, yeah.
Why? Why the discrepancy if you start as an adult?
What happens is like when you're a kid, they have like the kids belt system. And then when you turn 16, you go into the adult belts. So...
Wouldn't that make you progress faster?
Yeah, so like with the belts, it works as like for the kids, it goes white, gray, yellow, orange, and then green. So there's 5 belts. So like a green belt has like, if he started from white, like white, gray, he did all the belts, he would have like black belt, same amount of time, like 10 years. If it was like a kid. Like we have some kids that start at like 3. But you can't give like a 6-year-old a black belt. So they have like the kids belt system.
They have the kids belt system, and then it sounds like you got rolled over somewhere.
And then you roll. Yeah, belt. So like for me, I went from orange belt in the kids, and then I went to blue belt, which is like the second belt for adults. So
what would you be if you'd started? So you said you'd be brown belt now.
If you'd started
in the adult system.
Yeah.
It seems like it's unfair to not be a brown belt now.
It can be, but based on
how much time you've put into the sport, right?
It can be, but like, man, it's like this for people all over the country. Like, I know kids my age who have been blue belts for 5 years, and just changing over to purple now, you know, like the next one.
What is the system of progression in the belt system? Like, do you have to achieve certain knowledge or?
Not so much. It's just about like, it depends where you train and stuff. Like the way our coach Gio, he runs it as like overall, like if you help out it, how you go in the competitions, if you compete. Some people like to compete, and then some people like to do jiu-jitsu as like a lifestyle.
Is it like a recreational?
Yeah, it can be both.
That's fine. If you have to change over, we'll just give it a second.
So yeah, for a lot of people that don't understand jiu-jitsu, it's a very hard concept to grasp, especially when you're going through the belt system. So as an adult, there's 5 belts, so white, blue, purple, brown, black. So I started jiu-jitsu a little bit older. I was about 26 when I started. But I've been competing pretty much the entire time. So I think 2017 was my first competition. And then as a white belt, I achieved a fair bit of success. I won a national title as a white belt. At blue belt in the first couple of years, I didn't have as much success. But then at the later end of the blue belt, I started going in competitions and winning, you know, basically walking through competitions, getting gold medals, like left, front and centre. So then my coach at the time at a different club basically had no choice but to promote me to the next belt, which is purple. That was 2 years ago now. And then once again, once you start from a new belt, it becomes increasingly more difficult to get wins at that belt because you've got guys who have already been there for, you know, probably 2 or 3 years. And yeah, but there's no real actual signs of progression. Some guys can get a blue belt, purple belt, brown belt in, you know, 3 or 4 years, whereas other guys might stand a blue belt for 3 years and then a purple belt for 3 years. It really just depends on how they go as a competitor.
How hungry they are as well.
Well, yeah, definitely. How hungry they are. How much
you're putting into it, how you're progressing.
Exactly, yeah. So that's one of the things the coaches will see. If you're turning up to training 4 nights a week and competing every month, you're going to progress faster, provided you're showing the skills. Like I've seen blue belts beat black belts in competition. There are some competitions where you can compete as a blue, like, so you got comps where you can have a beginner's division, intermediate, and a professional division. So I've been competing in the professional division for the last probably 3 years now, And in the beginning, I wasn't having much success. And then the last probably 2 years, I've started to place, you know, third and second, and I've even won one or two divisions as a purple belt, but in the professional division. So competing against guys with brown belts and black belts. But that's more of a no-gi game. And once again, for the people who don't understand jiu-jitsu very often, there's two dimensions of it. There's the in the gi, which is your kimono or the pajamas, which a lot of guys will call them, which is basically the uniform that you're fighting. And then you've got the no-gi, which is you just, you know, some competitions you can do it without a shirt on. It's just basically like, it's just the UFC, the MMA grappling component of it. It's just no striking. So it's all your groundwork, all your chokes, all your submissions, your arm bars. And then there's, the last few years, there's been this progression into leg locks. You know, there's been a few American guys and Brazilian guys who are, you know, amazing grapplers, but they've developed this game to basically break guys' legs. And now, yeah. And you'll see there's videos all over the internet of guys breaking their legs doing jiu-jitsu and that.
Why would you want to break someone's leg?
It's not so much that you want to break a leg, but at the end of the day, it is a contact sport. It is you know, more or less a fight sometimes. And just the submissions that, with your leg lock game, there's the thing about jiu-jitsu, it's not designed to hurt you. It's not designed to sort of... it's designed to break limbs and designed to kill you. If you look at, you know, for the chokes, for example, if you hold a choke for long enough, and I'm not saying...
You kill someone, right?
You're going to choke them to death if you want to. But, you know, guys tap out in the first 2 or 3 seconds. And, you know, I've seen Jordan here go to sleep on the mat once because someone choked him and he didn't tap out in time. I've been put to sleep myself probably 5 or 6 times now on the mats.
It seems to be a little bit of a rite of passage, though, when you start doing jiu-jitsu to get choked out.
Well, I think...
Just to see what it feels like, right?
Well, I think a lot of guys will...
Is that not a standard thing in jiu-jitsu? Like,
oh, definitely.
When you start off, guys are like, oh, I'll choke you out. You see what it's like. Come back. It's fine.
It's not so much the guys will say, here's what it feels like. It's more so someone on the other end, the receiving end, will be like, God, I wonder how it feels. And next thing, you never know you're going to sleep. The thing is, you're getting choked and then, shit, you wake up and you go... Oh, I just got choked out.
And so it's like, you kind of like, oh, I didn't even know what happened.
Exactly. You got no idea what's actually happening.
And the thing about jiu-jitsu is it doesn't take a lot to really... obviously, there's a lot in the skill involved in choking someone out, but it doesn't take a lot of pressure, does it, to really choke someone out?
It really doesn't. So it's just all it is you're stopping the blood circulation to the brain, you're stopping the oxygen going to the brain, and next thing, I think your body just... Or your brain goes into panic mode and shuts your body down for some reason, and... Obviously, if you don't tap in time, there's always 10 or 15 people on the mats, and the person choking you, they'll know you've gone to sleep, so they're not going to hold a choke for 5 minutes. Once they're on, you know they're on. So if someone doesn't tap in the first 10 seconds, you generally let them go and go, oh, shit, they're asleep.
I've got a choke-out story that I'll throw into the chat, right? So when we were in school, and, like, kids in school always come up with the best ideas, right? And so we were playing this game one day where you take a deep breath and then someone would come behind you and, like,
on the pole.
They'd come behind you and, like, basically bear hug you around your arms, right? And so their hands would sort of come out around your chest and they'd start squeezing and you had to hold your breath. And I remember waking up on the ground and my legs really hurt, right? And I was like, why the fuck does my leg hurt? Like, I was like waking up like out of this daze. I had no idea what had happened. My fucking leg was killing me, right? And Roy was the kid that choked me out, like made me pass out from, I don't know what caused it. And they're like, one of my mates was like, well, Roy didn't let you down in time and you started having a seizure on the ground. And we thought you were faking it, so we started kicking you. That's my choke out story. So I know what it's like to wake up, and it's like you kind of wake up dizzy, like kind of dazed, like I don't know where I am, what day of the year it is, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, it's weird, but yeah, also kind of feel like you just woke up from a nap kind of thing, like...
Well, I think it's the weirdest thing. I think your body must go into some sort of reset mode because... The last time I was actually put to sleep was during a nighttime class, and I remember going home that night and feeling so awake and like I had so much energy, and I didn't sleep a wink that night. It's like, it's honestly like you've probably had 12 hours sleep it's a weird, it's a very, very odd sensation for people who have never actually passed out from a choke. It's really hard to explain. So I'm not saying go and choke out your mates or go and choke out your partner, but if you want to go jump on a jiu-jitsu mat, definitely go and experience it, because it's a sport that I think everyone should definitely experience. And once again, I'm not saying you need to get choked out, because it is quite scary on the way to that point. But
there's a few people I'd like to choke out.
Oh, I think everyone's got one or two people we want to choke out and sort of watch them convulsing on the ground. That's what happens. It's happened, I think, the first time I ever did some of the training. They were on the ground and they were, you know, shaking and having like convulsions or a seizure, I suppose. And you shit yourself at first. And then the second time you might shit yourself again. But then the third and fourth time you do it at training, because everyone will put someone to sleep eventually. And the funny thing is, after a few times of doing it, you sort of go, oh, they didn't tap. it's pretty funny when you see someone go to sleep, you go, oh, you dickhead, why didn't you tap out? Sometimes it's because, you know, you might have you might be rolling with a lower belt, and sometimes you let them get positions, you let them get a choke on, and then you try and get out of it. For the training aspect, but yeah. some guys are very proud. Like I've definitely, you know, in the past I've been rolling with guys when I was first beginning, and they were much, much more higher in the ranks than me, and you know, they let me get positions. The next thing, they've got me in a choke. Oh, sorry, I've got them in a choke, and they're just like, oh shit, hang on, I'm not going to let him finish me. So they won't tap. They'll try everything to get out of it. Next thing, they're on the ground sleeping, snoring. And it's quite funny. And the same thing happened to me. I've done it before. I took my pride onto the mat with me once, and I let, you know, someone get me in a position where I couldn't get out, and
just went to sleep.
I didn't swallow my pride.
Is there more? Do you think there's more ego in not tapping?
Definitely. That's one of the things. A lot of gyms you go to, it actually says on the doors, leave your ego and your shoes off the mat. That's one of the biggest things. So you can't go into any jiu-jitsu gym with any sort of ego whatsoever, because you'll get sorted out really, really quickly.
What advice would you give to someone that's looking to start jiu-jitsu as a sport? Because I've had I had Anthony Topic in here not long ago, who he's like a boxing fight promoter, a general manager of Team LS Boxing, and also runs like a lot of boxing classes himself. Yeah. And I've spoken to my coach, Stephen Rados, about this as well. And the advice is always quite different depending on who you talk to about joining like a high contact, high impact sport like what I'm involved in at the moment, which is boxing. But what... Yeah. Like, I think jiu-jitsu, a lot of people enter it for different reasons. I know, like, a lot of guys that are doing security now are into jiu-jitsu because it's all about, like, controlling someone that you want to leave a premises. Police are into it. Military are very into it. Why do you think that there is such a high interest from military, law enforcement, and now the civilian world? And what advice would you give to people that are looking to get into the sport?
Yeah, so, like... Jordan. I know a lot that, like the Gracies over in America and California, they do a lot of like sponsorships because they're very big in the jiu-jitsu world. They have very big Instagram and stuff. And they actually run a lot of like police training for like grappling and controlling situations because, to be honest, a lot of like, not now, now they're getting a lot more people knowing how to position, like to arrest people or whatever. But back in the day, like a lot of like cops would get like overpowered by some massive like Sasquatch, you know? But like, that's the thing. Like, for example, me, like I started footy, like when I was like 10, 11, I was playing footy, but I was small. I'm still not big, but I was a lot smaller, and one of the guys from my team did jiu-jitsu. So that's why I started to like learn how to fall. Cause that's what they learn. You learn how to, like in the warm up, front roll, back roll, side roll, like you learn how to fall and like hit the mat safely. And like this stuff saved my life on like day to day basis, like skating and stuff. Like I've bombed some hills before and like hit a pebble and gone flying off my skateboard, like 50 miles an hour, like going quick.
Straight into front a rear roll, naked choke.
Front roll, bang. Like you scratched up, but you're sweet. And like some people like to go into jiu-jitsu for this aspect, but also Like, now I do it as, like, to feed my ego, you know? Like, I like to compete. I like to push my body to the limit. And, yeah, but for anybody, like, trying to or wanting to start just having a hobby, like, showing up on the mats the first day, just having, like, an open mindset. Because, to be honest, like, when I'm at first class, like, being this close to, like, a human and, like, having to, like, control it, it's a bit weird. I was, like, a bit weirded out as a kid, like, oh, like, I'm gonna, like, hug this dude now. But it's a style of fighting at the end of the day, like.
I think once you get over the fact that it is, like, rolling around close contact with other blokes and you realize that it's, like, probably as close to how the gladiators trained, I think you get over that whole, like, you know, the skepticism of... and the trepidation of, like, rolling around high contact with it. I don't know, man. I think different martial arts offer different forms of that contact, right? I'd rather learn slowly, like, rolling around on a mat than, like, doing Muay Thai where you get fucking kicked in the head.
The beauty of jiu-jitsu is, this thing, with Muay Thai, boxing, even MMA, like, all the striking aspects of it, I've got this firm belief that a lot of rough guys are there, they've already got some sort of mongrel in them where they can fight. And if they do take up boxing, kickboxing, they're going to get a little bit better. Whereas if you pull somebody out of an office and put them in a boxing environment or a kickboxing environment, they're not going to progress as much. But if you put the same person on a jiu-jitsu mat, they're always going to get better no matter what. The more you turn up, because you don't have to go as hard. You don't have to go 100 miles an hour all the time. Whereas boxing, kickboxing, I think that there is an aspect of, you know, it's a high-impact sport. Whereas jiu-jitsu is a high-impact sport if you make it a high-impact sport. You don't have to go as hard as you want every day. But any advice to getting someone any advice to people wanting to try it out is just to go to a local jiu-jitsu gym and just walk in, do a trial class. And like Jordan said, it is quite daunting when, you know, you've got other guys, you know, twice your size or even half your size sometimes. You're in very close contact. You know what I mean? Like, I've had guys sweating literally into my mouth before when on top of me. And it's not a very comfortable
place. You're into that though.
I'm a little bit weird like that. You know? I'm a little bit strange. I don't mind it. But it's one of them things, like Jordy said, you need to have an open mind when you're going into a gym. You're going into a contact sport. You're going into a place where guys have been doing it for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not for everyone, but it's something that everybody should experience. As far as police and military aspects of it go, yeah, definitely. There's so many ways to subdue, what would you call them, like a suspect or just basically controlling another human being. And there's ways you can do it, you know, with your body, without a weapon, without any sort of restraints. So there are ways you can take guys to the ground. There are ways you can control them on the ground without hurting them. And that's one thing jiu-jitsu is really big about is controlling somebody bigger, somebody stronger. There's so many ways.
Using their biomechanics against them.
Exactly. There's leverage. There's a lot of techniques to get people down to the ground, to hold people down without hurting them.
I got my hand twisted once by a guy just showing me a basic hand bar or whatever it's called.
Like a wrist lock or something.
Fuck the pain. I was useless. He had my hand.
Yeah.
And he controlled my whole body with that hand. Yeah. It was my wrist was bent back and he sort of like had it like this. He had my hand kind of like bent back like this.
Back towards you, yeah.
And he was just walking me around like a dog on a lead. There was nothing I could do.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and every time I tried to get out of it, he'd just twist my hand a little bit more and the pain was agonizing. Like he would have just broke my wrist if I kept trying to resist, right? So I think there is a way to safely, definitely, like, lock someone up, have them comply, and do it in a way where you're not doing lasting damage. Like, my hand is fine now, right?
Yeah. Well, like I was saying, I'm not saying it's not going to hurt when they do these things. The whole reason that they're going to control someone is because they're going to be in a lot of pain. The more they move, the more chances are that, you know, they're going to get a broken wrist or a broken arm, you know, in them sort of situations. But at the end of the day, it takes a lot more force to actually break something. Unless someone's got, you know, hollow bones or, you know, they're not accustomed to, you know, that sort of treatment. Sometimes something might break, but, you know, you've seen the sort of how forceful some police are to, you know, older people and everything, and they're fine. like the what the human body can actually sustain is it's quite amazing. And one of the things, you know, you learn from jiu-jitsu is watching, you know, watching what guys can do to each other without actually hurting them. You know, obviously what they're doing hurts at the time, but then, you know, they roll off the mat and it doesn't hurt anymore. It's, you know, it's sequences of control.
What would you think, because I'm quite a firm believer, though, that if you want to learn self-defense, I think boxing is the best thing for self-defense. But I think if you wanted to do as close to learning the critical skills of MMA, or I would say close contact self-defense, like in a position where, say, someone ties you up, hugs you, whatever like that, I think jiu-jitsu far outweighs any other form of martial art.
Well, definitely. I'll say a lot of gyms have a massive emphasis on self-defense, to the extent that to progress through the belts, some gyms you'll actually have to demonstrate, you know, like 10 or 15 like instances where, you know, someone grabs you from behind with their hands over your arms. There's a way to combat that. Their hands under your arms is a way to combat that. If someone gets you in a front headlock, there's a way to combat that. And these are all, you know, they're all, you can use these things in a competition. You know, if you're in a competition, you get a taller guy who gets you in a front headlock, there's a way out of it.
Grab their dick and twist it.
Grab his dick and twist it. Kick him in the dick.
Way out of all of those things that you described.
Yeah, so pretty much if you can get a hand near the dick, grab it and squeeze it as hard as you possibly can.
That's it. That's how you win jiu-jitsu competitions.
A squirrel group's a short fight, for sure.
There is definitely a way to get out of really any human hold, right? It's just about knowing how to do it.
There definitely is, 100%. There's look, at the end of the day, if you've got a guy who's, you know, three times his size, twice his size, and they've got a good grip on you, you're not going to get out of it.
Yeah.
But if you've got a guy who's bigger than you, but you've got a higher skill set than him, then there's techniques, there's leverages, there's ways you can get out of it, you know, that are obviously going to hurt the other person. Not going to maim them forever, but, you know, you might, you know, like I said before...
It's about creating distance, right?
Exactly.
In a self-defense situation, it's about creating distance from the threat.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
Whereas in a jiu-jitsu competition, it's about engaging with the threat
pretty
and
much,
winning.
Yeah.
In a jiu-jitsu competition. Roles are reversed in that instance. Yeah.
Well, exactly. But the thing is, you know, the whole thing about jiu-jitsu is closing the distance and being as tight as possible. You know what I mean? Because as soon as you give someone space, you give them room to escape. If you're chasing someone for the submission, you can't give the person any space, because as soon as they have a little bit of room to move, they can escape.
Are you more or less trying to smother someone in jiu-jitsu, like with your body weight and then maneuvering around them in order to try and lock up their limbs? What's the main thing you're trying to do in jiu-jitsu?
So there's a lot of different ways to compete in jiu-jitsu and a lot of different ways to train. So with me, I'm a fairly stronger sort of a guy. I'm not big. I'm only
That don't know, Peter's built like a fuck human nugget. Like everything about him is just muscular.
So it's good. I'm 5'9" and like 90 kilos. So a lot of my strengths lie in my wrestling and, you know, me having the ability to get on top and stay on top. Whereas other guys will play this game where it's called playing guard. They'll sit back and they'll try to get you to engage them.
Use their limbs to their advantage?
Yes.
Is that what they're trying to do?
So what they'll try and do is get you to engage them. And then next thing, you can put your foot in one position. Next thing, they've got your whole leg locked up. And, you know.
Yeah,
next
so they're trying to get you to make a mistake
exactly. In
engaging them.
It's like a game of chess.
Is going straight to guard kind of like a puss out in jiu-jitsu?
Look, it's... I don't think so.
I think Jordan's got something to say about
it. It's not my game. Jordy's really good at it. So...
Do you go straight to guard, Jordy?
I used to. Lately, I've been working a lot of like takedown and pass. So that's the thing. So in jiu-jitsu, you start standing.
What is takedown and pass?
So I'll explain. So when you start the fight in the competition, you start standing. You tap hands, like show respect, and then it's on.
When they come in to tap hands, that's your time to strike, bro.
Yeah, I've seen people do it if you... Like,
nah, it's dirty, eh? It's really dirty.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I've seen it before.
But no
like,
one cares how you win a fight, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's at the end of the day, it's who wins.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. As soon as they come in to show respect, headbutt them. Get them down, kick them. Nah. Nah. God, sorry, I'm derailing. You're doing really well. I was just derailing it being silly.
No, you're all good.
No, it's good. So you come in, you tap hands, you show respect,
and then the fight starts. So you either got takedown or pull guard. Pull guard means you sit on your back and you fight with your legs using.
Do people go straight to their back after they tap hands? Like, is that
some people sit, but it's what? You're actually not allowed to do this. You have to have a grip.
Yeah, you can't just sit straight down. You have to make contact and then sit back.
What happens if two guys, their game plan is to go to guard?
So
you got two guys holding each other's hands, sitting down straight away, trying to get on.
This happens a lot. So this happens sometimes, and that's the thing. Like the refs want to see someone win, you know. So what happens is, like, we have this whole scoring system for the sport of jiu-jitsu. So Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is the sport, and then Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is the self-defense aspect of it, if you understand.
So where does the sportsmanship lie in you're both standing and you tap hands? I would have thought that after that point, when you're about to engage, I would have thought it's more sportsmanlike and shows a higher skill set to then take your opponent down from that position.
Yeah.
If they offer it to you, it's kind of like, yes, they're in a guarded position, but it's kind of like they've already gone to the ground. They've already given you a half of what wrestling to them to the ground would have been. They've taken that fight out of it, right?
It all depends on, like, your strengths. So, like, for Pete's case, like, he's really top heavy. So he's really good at fucking holding someone on the ground.
Right.
For me, I'm a bit of both. I like now I'm playing more passing guard. I'm really quick with my movements. But
so you're trying to get on top of someone as quick as possible.
Since I was 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you're playing top, your goal is to get around their legs and, like, try and finish them. You know what I mean? Like, with arm bars, like, triangle, whatever. That shows.
So you're trying to get behind them? And lock
legs.
Them in? Lock them in a headlock? Or
around
what are you trying
legs.
To do there?
Yeah, it's like a bit of everything, you know?
Okay. So in this case, so just say someone pulls guard on me. The first thing they're going to do is... So there's a point system. So if you... A lot of the time, guys don't want first points scored on them. So if you take someone down, you score the first points.
Right.
But when someone pulls guard, if they can sort of get you in a position where they can sweep you to the ground and they come up on top, then they get first points. So by pulling guard, you don't lose points. So the whole thing about it is just trying to score first points. Usually someone like me, I pride myself on my wrestling. So I love it when guys stand up with me because then we both got a good chance of scoring first points on each other. Whereas if they pull guard...
I would find that's more sportsmanlike, right?
It comes back to their strengths. Some guys, they don't pride themselves on wrestling. They pride themselves on their ability to sweep the bigger guy or the guy who's standing. But as far as sportsmanship goes, it's just a sport. Like, I think a lot of guys play to their strengths no matter what the sport is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, my question was, let's say you're both starting up and then it becomes like a wrestle to the ground, right? That's to get the first point.
Yeah.
That would be called a double guard pull.
Oh, that's, yeah, both guys pull. That does happen. Both guys do pull guard, but the next thing becomes a game of, so one guy has to get on top at this point to score points.
To score a point,
or
right.
Or try and submit the other guy from where they are.
Yeah, basically, as soon as you get a leg bar or an arm bar, like that, that's game over for the other person if they tap, right? You're trying to get them in a position where it's causing them enough pain that they want to tap and make the pressure stop, the fight stop.
That's
okay.
So it's not like, you see all your other sports, boxing, MMA, kickboxing, where you've got, two and three rounds and 10 rounds, 12 rounds, whatever it may be. So jiu-jitsu competitions, you've got one round and it's just a match. So 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever the rule set is on the day, there's one round. And you've got that 5 or 6 minutes to submit the other guy or to outpoint the other guy. And then usually what happens is it's like a single elimination. So as soon as you lose, you're out. And you have to win to progress through the finals.
So you do one round per opponent?
Yeah. Yes, correct, yeah.
And that, how long can that round go for?
So depending on the competition, some comps have 8-minute matches, some comps have like a 5-minute match.
Eight minutes?
Yep.
Yeah, that's draining, right? Like, 8-minute round is a long round.
Yeah, definitely. It takes its toll. I've done...
People don't understand. how long 8 minutes of fighting someone actually is. Like, 3 minutes is a long time. And especially in a competition setting, 8 minutes is like a long, long time.
Yeah, definitely. It really is. But that's the thing. Like I said a bit earlier, it becomes as hard or as easy as you want it to be. Sometimes, you know, I've had matches with guys that have gone 8 minutes and we've been standing the entire time trying to take each other down the whole time. And then towards the end of it, you know, one person might get the better of the other one, score the 2 points, and they win the match 2 points. Or you can get them on the ground the first minute or two and then work your way around the legs, get to a control position, try and find your way to their back and choke them. Or
are you allowed to strike?
No, there's definitely
absolutely no striking.
Absolutely no striking. There are times where when you're trying to get a good collar tie on someone's neck where you sort of, you know, you
slap them a bit.
You don't mean to slap them, but, you know, depending on who you're versing, if you're versing someone who you know pretty well, like I've versed guys from the gyms who I know really well, then it gets quite heated. So, you know, you when you're going for collar ties, you really kind of get a good grip on the back of their neck or something like that.
Yeah,
you
make them feel it.
Yeah, and sometimes, yeah, you definitely want to know that you're in a match. You really, you know, you want them to know, like, because at the end of the day, it's a contact sport.
It's a contact sport. And the other thing as well is, like, that split second of that slapping them on the back of the neck while you're bringing your hand in to contact them, if that startles them, that's your advantage.
Well, definitely. Yeah, the other thing is, you know, you can do things like that to try and get them to do something silly. Like, it is a game of chess, you know. If you can get someone to, you know, assert enough aggression to really try and take you down, you know, and then you've got a game plan from there. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can have someone shoot you for a double, shoot a double leg on you, and you can sprawl on them, get to the back, and get to a choke, or and them sort of things happen all the time. You know what I mean? You really try and push guys in a position where they really try and assert a lot of aggression.
I think if you can make someone lose their temper, that's awesome. It's like you said, bro. It's a game of chess, but any fight really becomes a game of chess.
Oh, definitely.
It's how much damage you can inflict whilst taking the least amount of damage.
Yeah, true. Definitely. But the game, like Jordy was saying a bit earlier with, you know, guard passing and being on top. So, once again, anyone who doesn't know what guard passing and, you know, a top-heavy game is, you just have to jump on YouTube and just type in, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guard passing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu takedowns, things like that, just so you get a bit of a better idea. Or this weekend on Sunday, there's a competition that I'll be competing in if anyone wants to watch. It's in Sutherland Basketball Stadium. So that's the ADCC national titles this weekend. So hopefully I can take out the professional division there. And I'd love to see someone there watch. It'd be good.
Is there much interest in these competitions?
There has been recently. I had a mate come watch me compete a few weeks ago. And he actually said to me during the day, he goes, "Man, I can't believe how many people are here. This is becoming the new CrossFit." And at the time, it didn't really register with me. But then later on, I thought, you know, well, since UFC is becoming so much bigger, and you got Volks at the moment, you know, killing it in the UFC, we've got an Australian, you know, we've got
Gold. Draws that attention, right?
Yeah, draws a lot of attention. Now we had Robert Whittaker hold the title for a long time, you know, another Aussie. So it draws, you know, a lot of people to the sport of MMA. And then the biggest thing, I think the biggest component of MMA is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I believe. You look at pretty much every single
world. You wouldn't have the MMA without Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Well, no,
right?
Definitely not. I mean, look, pretty much every world title holder has probably got a black belt in jiu-jitsu or a fantastic wrestler. The biggest thing about MMA is the grappling side of it. Obviously, you know, you get these awesome highlight reels where guys are getting kicked in the head and punched and knocked out and stuff like that.
That's
awesome to watch.
That's usually about half the fight. The other half is on the ground.
Yeah, definitely.
And the idea of MMA is to gas them out and get them to ground and make them submit.
Yeah, well, it's good to see a lot of time in the air. You're seeing guys finishing guys with rear naked chokes in MMA. That's huge. The rear naked choke, that doesn't come from boxing or kickboxing. That's jiu-jitsu or wrestling. And yeah.
The MMA side of things is definitely heavily influenced by Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I remember back in the day when MMA was fresh. Yeah, the Gracie brothers just cleaned people up.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing to watch. I've done a seminar with, I can't remember which one it was. I'm really bad with names. No, it wasn't Hickson, it was Hoyler. Hoyler Gracie. I've done a seminar with him, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu seminar, and I think I learned more in the 2 hours that day. Yeah, this is going back a couple of years now, but probably, you know, the 2 years or 3 years before that day, I reckon I learned more in that 2 hours with Hoyler Gracie than I did in the previous couple of years training. But just, absolutely an amazing family to, you know, they've pioneered Jiu-Jitsu. Absolutely amazing to watch. And then you got is it Cron Grayson now in the UFC? Has he fought?
Yeah,
he hasn't fought for a while. And man, these guys are absolutely amazing to watch. And the fact that they're continuing that legacy through the ages is just mind blowing. You know what I mean? It's really hard, especially you know with children myself. Trying to get them to do jiu-jitsu is extremely tough. So
trying to get Grayson, children to do anything is extremely tough.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you have like the right amount of chocolate.
I think
if you have a good supply of chocolate, you can get young children to do just about anything.
Pretty much anything, exactly. Yeah. So the thing is, like, that's the thing, this family have, you know, I don't know if they've forced them to or if they genuinely enjoy what they do, but they've pioneered the sport from, you know, the 20s, 30s and 40s up until today. You know, for 100 years, they've been competing, and not just competing, but winning world titles, and you know, and still they're still at the top of their game, and their grandchildren will probably do the same thing in 10, 15 years from now. So it's a pretty amazing sport. I think, you know, everybody out there should definitely go to a local gym and check it out. Get on the mats, do a trial class, have a go. It's not for everybody. That's 100%. It's not for everyone, but it's definitely everyone should have a go at it. It's something everyone should definitely experience in their life.
Definitely. I'm actually keen to do it. I've got a fight in 2 weeks, but then afterwards I was thinking, oh, because there's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu place up in Maroubra, just up the road.
Yep, SJJ, another one, yeah.
And I was like, I walk past it sometimes if I'm going for dinner or getting the groceries or whatever. And I look in the window and I see like all the guys on the mat rolling around. I'm like, that looks pretty fun.
Yeah, it is.
But I just haven't. I don't have the time to commit to that. And also, if they pull a muscle or a tendon on me right now, I can't afford it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
100%.
But after the fight, open gate.
After the fight. So me and Jordy would love to have you up at our gym. It's a fair way from here. We're up at Warriorwood. Pacheco Jiu-Jitsu at Warriorwood, mate. We'd absolutely
love to
have
you. You guys don't want this smoke, man.
Oh, we don't know, sir.
You good guys don't want this.
I don't know, Fonny. He's a little
Jordy's
bit
laughing a little bit too much. Like a little bit, he's a little bit too confident.
Jordy, he's pretty good. I'll tell you what, Jordy, before Jordy went to South America, Brazil and... before Jordy went to Brazil and America just recently to compete in the World Championships, I used to be able to pretty much have my way with him on and off the mats, which is a lot of fun. And since he's been
take
back...
Take that how you will.
Since he's been back, it's like fighting a different person.
The camp's changed you a bit, you reckon?
Yeah, man.
The skill that he developed over there is unbelievable. I've never seen a transition from, you know, honestly, I reckon I watched Jordan go from a boy to a man in the space of 3 months just because of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
What it did for him over there was unbelievable. And I consider Jordan probably the best blue belt in the country right now, without a doubt. I don't think there's a blue belt in the country that can beat Jordy.
Like last year's like ranking, so like the way they base the ranking off is like how much you compete during the year. Last year I debuted at adult belt, like adult division, not juvenile. I finished the ranking at place 4th in Australia, and I beat number 1.
Wow.
At the ACT.
Wow, okay.
In the open weight division.
Cool. Very cool.
So, but now like, after the Worlds, a lot of those guys, we had a big team for Australia going over to the Worlds. So I saw a lot of the guys like I've fought before. A lot of them have gone up belt. They've gone to the purple now and I'm still here. But that's because we're not really sure. I am going to be competing next year at Worlds. So, and that's like,
if you go to purple, does that put you up in a whole different...
It's like another thing.
Is that like a whole different league of... And different league of fighter people you'd be fighting? And yeah, so does it make a little bit more sense to stay at blue for another year?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, for me, it's a belt. At the end of the day, it just holds my gear together. Like, the actual, like... The end goal is to be black belt world champion. That's when you're certified. You're known as the best. But, like, leading up to that, man, most of those guys smash any black belt, like, in Australia. Like, the level from, like, Brazil to America compared to here, it's very big. Especially, like, in the gi. In the gi, I feel like they've developed the game a lot more in these last couple of years while no-gi's been blowing up. Because, like, we have these guys like Gordon Ryan, like... All those guys in America focusing on the no-gi, doing really crazy stuff. Like, those guys have been really good for bringing eyes on the jiu-jitsu world. But after the Worlds, I feel like a lot of people have coming back to the gi. It's getting more eyes on it, and it's good for this. Like, doesn't even like have to be the black belts. The blue belts are weapons. Like, what some of the stuff they're doing there is like, it doesn't happen often, you know.
How much time per day, and how long would you say you'd have to do jiu-jitsu, like sparring, rolling with people, doing classes, all that sort of stuff, to get to a stage where you are, I would say, more or less good or above average in the sport?
So, it at the end of the day, it's like, it's how much you really want it. You know, like, for me at this point, I'm treating it as my job. Today was just jiu-jitsu. Like, right now we're talking about jiu-jitsu. And it's this morning when I woke up, I was like thinking of jiu-jitsu. Like, it's consisted like my whole day. And those last 3 months, I'd wake up, go straight to the morning class. Each class would be like 2 hours long. And then have something to eat, go lift weights. And then my day's done by like 1 o'clock, you know? And then we would have like more study, but like for the any regular Joe on the day, like just showing up, like that's all it is. Like,
But how much time would you say would you want to dedicate to it per day?
Like, so with most classes, so your average class would go for an hour, maybe a little bit longer, but if you were just wanting to progress in jiu-jitsu over a amount of time. It's going to take, it's not just going to happen in, you know, 3 or 4 months. It's going to take, you know, 18 months,
years, right?
To get to a point where you are above average.
I've always had been given the information, and you can correct this if it's right or wrong. Someone told me years ago, and I've kind of never forgotten it, it takes 10 years to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Oh, definitely. Give or take. Well, there's guys, there's an Aussie guy named Kit Dale. He did it in 4 years.
Is that unheard of? Well, definitely unheard of.
But it's hard to say. But he went from a white belt to a black belt in 4 years. But he was winning world titles at every belt. There's a guy in Australia right now, and Josh Saunders, and I have never seen anybody with a. You know, he's a big guy, 120 kilos, probably 6'4", an amazing athlete. I've versus this guy, I think, three times now in competitions. Each time, I think it's lasted less than a minute that he's finished me. It's taken him, I think, 23 or 24 months now to get a brown belt. And he's already competed on the world stage against the best in the world. And he's been doing jiu-jitsu for 2 years.
And he's on a brown belt. That's one under black.
He's right? One under black. But he's as far as I know, he dedicates, you know,
his life to the sport.
I think so, yeah. Like, you know, he's probably doing a session in the morning, a session at night, plus his weight sessions. And all that sort of stuff. Plus,
taking it seriously.
He definitely takes seriously. And once again, amazing athlete, amazing competitor.
So to the average Joe, you'd say after a few years, you'd be pretty good at jiu-jitsu.
Definitely. For guys to become above average, the average Joe, if he wants to become above average, he needs to be competing probably at least, you know, 2 or 3 times a year. If he wants to be above average as a blue belt, as a purple belt, as a brown belt, but then you've got
the idea of competing so that you're coming into contact with other people that are going to stress test you?
I think definitely. Like, so with me, for example, I love to compete because I'm a very proud person. I love to take pride in the fact that I've challenged myself. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I love the challenge. I love turning up. I love the butterflies that I get before I compete. I like, you know, I'm an ex-footballer, and you know, I played a lot of rugby league. I played over 100 games in the Queensland Cup, and I, you know, not playing footy for the last 5 years, I really miss that competitive side of things. I really miss, you know, really challenging myself. And jiu-jitsu has given me a whole another avenue to explore, you know, a challenge. And the thing is, a lot of guys will compete because their clubs might say, all right, you know what, you're due for a blue belt, you're due for a purple belt, but we want to see you compete. So some guys might progress through their belts that way, whereas other guys are not interested in competing whatsoever. They do it recreationally. they train two or three times a week because it's really good for their fitness, it's really good for their mental health, it's really good, you know, to get out of the house. And, you know, that's the way some guys progress. And in that case, yeah, you're probably looking at 10 years for a black belt. 10 to 12, 13, 14 years for a black belt. It doesn't just happen, you know.
Those guys that aren't interested in competing to prove where they're at skill-wise, they're probably going to get a black belt based on the fact that they can do all of the tasks to a high standard, but they haven't necessarily been in competition, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you go and compete and you're beating other purple belts and stuff like that, it's probably like, okay, time to go to black or... to brown.
You'll progress more than one belt. But that's the thing. You'll the competitive side of things. Some guys will, you know, they'll win a comp at a blue belt, and then you can never ask to be promoted. The only person that's going to promote you is your coach, is your respective coach at the time, and that they'll decide when you're ready. It's not like you can go and just go into competition and say, if someone thinks they're good enough to compete as a brown belt and they're only a blue belt or a purple belt, they have to compete as a blue belt. They can't just go and jump in a comp. And you know, the next thing is, they go and compete as a blue belt, you know, they win that comp, they do it again, they win the next comp. Sooner or later, the coach is going to have to give them a purple belt, and then they can progress there for the next 12 to 18 months. So yeah, it's definitely not a...
What changes when you go up the belt system?
That's a really, really hard question. I can never answer this one. But the thing is, I think the biggest thing is just your consistency, turning up on the mats. Just being there week in, week out. And the thing is, you're never going to win every comp. Some guys go in and win every comp. You know, there are freaks out there. There are guys that can do it. But what changes is probably your attitude on the mats. I think just turning up and just doing the right thing, making sure you still, you know, even staying back and cleaning the mats after the class, you know, giving them the mats a mop, things like that. But as far as, you know...
Showing respect for the gym.
Yeah, respecting the gym, respecting your opponents in the gym. Like we've had... I've heard stories, you know, before I joined my gym, there was guys that came in probably with a chip on their shoulder and, you know, they're running around submitting everybody. But they weren't there to learn. They were there to chase submissions. And the coach has gone, you know what, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming. But,
you know what we want at the gym.
You don't fit in here. You don't quite fit in here. And that would happen at a lot of gyms. But the thing is, you know, if you're turning up to gyms looking for submissions, that's fine. You can do that. There are gyms that will accept you, but... If you're going there because you want to learn, you want to develop skills, you want to be better at jiu-jitsu, you want to be a better person, that's one of the biggest things about jiu-jitsu is just developing skills over time. And, you know, if you go to competition, go for gold. Go try and submit everyone. Do whatever you can to submit them. That's good. That's competition.
I feel like that's the place for that.
Definitely. It definitely is.
I feel like competitions is the place to go and chase submissions.
100%.
I feel like at the gym, your trainer, it should be treated as like, this is where I do my homework and... competitions is the test.
Yeah, definitely. But they're in the gyms, like we do have a competition class every Friday, and you know that's the time where you can really showcase your skills. You know, there's, you know, me and Geordie get together and try and rip each other's hands off.
An internal competition in the gym.
No, not internal competition. Just a class where it's a simulated competition.
That's what I'm saying. It's an internal.
Basically, an internal competition. But it's more of a simulation.
You're versing the people that you train with every day.
Exactly. Yeah. And you really get to see, you really get to put everything into practice you've done through the week. So,
well, that's beneficial. I mean, it's in a controlled environment. You're not going 100%, or maybe, I don't know.
Some years, there's definitely times where you go 100%.
And you're trying to make each other better for the competition.
That's what it is. That's all it is. Like I said, developing skills over time. Me and Geordie are good mates, even though I'm, 12 years older than you? 13 years older? 13 years older, Geordie? That's well. I'm a little bit older than Geordie, but we're good mates. And off the mats, you know, we show a lot of respect to each other. And then on the mats, you know, we get there and we really, really try and cause each other damage.
Let me ask you a question. And I can only really come at it from the boxing side of things. So when I learnt boxing, it was with an end goal in mind, and that is to compete and fight. And I had to get fight ready in 10 weeks, an amateur boxing fight, right? And so the break-in period was very abrupt. It was like, I was basically a human punching bag for probably the first 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And it hurt and it sucked and everything hurt all the time. And I'd come home with blood all over my face, nose fucked up, ribs caved in, like I was getting pounded, right? And it's only now that my skill set is increasing that that's happening less frequently.
Yep.
But the thing is, I told myself I'd rather it hurt in training, so it would hurt less in the fight.
Yeah.
Right. So, but the thing about boxing is, it does hurt, right? It physically hurts when someone punches you in the face. It's
a very high impact sport.
Yeah, it's a high impact sport, right? That's what you sign up for. You know that if you're going into boxing, you don't have to do it right away. You can build your skill set up so that when you do step in and spar someone, and you can start off light. I didn't have that. I didn't have that luxury. But the average Joe can do that, and then you can build up to higher and higher contacts.
Mm.
My question with jiu-jitsu is, does it hurt? And if it does, can you build up to it as at a pace that you're comfortable with?
It's a good question. See, like I said earlier, you can go as hard or as light as you want. There are weeks where, you know, you're going to just do positional training. You might start just, you know, you might try and work from attacks from one position. And you're not going 100 miles an hour, so the impact is not going to be as high. But like I say, a lot of guys, to progress, you can't go 100 miles an hour all the time because you're just going to burn out. There have to be days and weeks where you go lighter, where you try and develop skills under pressure from different positions, and you work your way out of positions. And then there's times you start on the back. For example, you want to try and finish your rear naked choke. There's no point in going 100 miles an hour trying to get to the back. You start on the back of your opponent, and then, you know, you give yourselves a minute to submit or escape. So there are definitely times where you have to go a little bit slower, and there are definitely times you got to let it go a little bit harder.
So you start on someone's back.
That's positional training, yeah. So if you're trying to, for the person on the back, they're trying to finish, they're trying to submit the guy, and then for the person who's got the other one on their back, they're trying to escape. And once they escape, you start again on the back. And then same thing.
Is there any part of that simulated training that hurts?
No. Well.
Or is it uncomfortable?
It's definitely uncomfortable. I suppose if someone gets you in a rear naked choke and they've got their forearm across your neck, it's pretty much, if you're going to get like a baseball bat across someone's neck and pull it back, you know, towards yourself, that's how it feels. You know, you got someone's bones going across your neck. It's quite painful.
Yeah, yeah. So it's uncomfortable. It does. There's like an element of pain. But there's definitely. I mean, you've, by that stage, surely you have signed up and are kind of aware that what's going on, and you're probably more or less mentally ready for it. That's not happening to you on day one, is it?
No, definitely not. No. Definitely. There's a reason. There's beginner classes and there's advanced classes. There's all different ways to begin. But as far as pain goes, like I say, a choke is not so bad, but then you got things like your arm bars, your shoulder locks, your leg locks, your wrist locks, all those sort of things where you're attacking joints. And the thing is, you're not there to try and hurt the person. If you hold on to one of these submissions long enough, you're going to break a wrist, you're going to break an arm, you're going to break a leg. That's what jiu-jitsu is designed to do. It's not designed to hurt, it's designed to break you. That's why guys tap out in time. So to answer your question, there are times where you are going to get hurt because some submissions come on very, very fast. And sometimes you can feel it coming, so you can tap in time. But like I said, in a competition class or in a competition itself, you know, sometimes you're trying to escape an armbar, and next thing you've got a torn ligament in your arm somewhere. And it sucks. That happened to me last year. I had a guy have me in an armbar, and I thought I had an avenue out. And the next thing I heard something, well, I actually felt something pop. And it's actually affected me for a long time. That arm's still not great. But, you know, it can hurt. Like I say, it doesn't have to hurt all the time, but the harder you train, the more chances you have of getting hurt. But that's the thing, it just comes back to how hard you want to train. If you want to be competitive, you got a higher chance of getting hurt. If you don't want to be competitive, if you want to do it recreationally, which a lot of people do, chances are you're not going to get hurt.
Yeah, see, it was actually, I thought it would make a cool podcast if we actually met up at that gym. We rolled around for like half an hour or whatever.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Taught me a few like basic stuff. Then we have a little competition, and then we did the podcast. But that story you just told about that ligament going pop, I just can't afford that at the moment. But I did think about it. I was like, oh, should I invite him to go and do that and blah, blah, blah. But then I was like, the thing about jiu-jitsu or any sport, any high contact sport is like, yes, you can control yourself, but also sometimes it's all about like, you know, show you how good I am. Next minute, my arm's fucking dangling down near my knee. So I just couldn't afford to take the chance of rolling around on a mat with two, like, you know, guys that are very, very, very deep into the jiu-jitsu world. And worse, if I tried and put myself in a stupid position and I hurt myself, I just didn't want to take the risk. But I did think it would have been a cool podcast to meet up on the mat. You guys teach me a few things, you know what I mean? Then we like have a little see if I've picked anything up or blah, 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 see how it go. But yeah, I just couldn't take the risk. But I did think about it. I thought it would have been a cool podcast.
Yeah, yeah, bro, man. And
that's after my fight, though, we'll do it.
Sure. Like Saturday yeah. morning, we have open mats. Like, this is for anybody that shows up. Anybody can show up.
You reckon I could make Jordan tap?
I can't even make him tap. He's like I said, he's developed, you know, in 3 months. What happened to him was just, I've never seen it before.
As he's walking into the gym, I just sprint from the car park and just jump on his back.
Just jump on his back. I reckon I'd have to hold his hands by his side. You have to hold his hands and he can get his neck and back. But no, it's...
That's confidence right there in your abilities. You know
that. Yeah. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for Jordan as a person. I have a lot of respect for Jordan as a competitor. And above all else, I have respect for him as a teammate. You know, I believe, like I'm 33 now. My competing days are probably numbered. Jordy's 19 years old, you know what I mean?
He's only just started, bro.
He's only just started. You know, he's got a long time ahead of him. So if I can, you know, someone like Jordan's going to help me progress as much as I possibly can in the next couple of years, and then vice versa, I'm going to do my best to help Jordy get to his goal, you know, as a world champion. And that would be amazing to watch Jordy become a world champion, and I'd invite anybody else to come watch him as well,
because he's I'd like to go to a competition and check it out.
It'll be good fun. Next weekend, me and Jordy are going down to the ACT together, and we're going to compete for the ACT state titles. So I'm going in four divisions. So I'm good, the gi and no gi in my weight division and open weight. I think Geordie's just still in the gi, is it?
Yeah, I'm gonna, cause I went there last year and I won it. So I won the, so I'm actually cutting weight now. So I was, last year I fought middleweight and then the open weight, I won double gold.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. I've won all my fights in the middleweight by submission, and then all my fights other than my second one I won by submission. But the guy was like 97 kilos. This guy was like 6 foot. He was tall. I'm a tiny guy. I'm like 5'6". Like
5'6", how many kilos are you?
Right now I'm walking around 73-ish.
And what's your fight weight?
Fight weight 70 now.
70 kilos.
70 kilos.
And Peter, what's yours?
So right now I'm actually cutting weight for, so this weekend I've got to be 83 kilos, and right now I'm still about 87, so I've got to lose 4 kilos by Sunday.
How are you going to do it?
Sauna? Oh, I've been in the sauna, the Savo. Today I think I've had a piece of salmon and a couple of almonds. That's about all I've had today. I'm struggling. I'm sitting here starving right now. I've had a bit of water, so... No, it's just the air sauna and just sort of really watching.
I'm going to bring out the cheesecake in a minute. We'll see how strong your will is.
Man, we're both on weight cuts right
now.
Yeah. So we'd have to see.
I'm bringing out cheesecake and ice cream in a minute just to test the boy. I can't even eat it, but I just want to see how strong your will is.
Willpower.
Today I had chicken and salad. That's it.
I know your weakness would probably be a few beers.
Yeah.
And a bit of barbecue and bread or something.
I do love a beer. I think anyone that knows me, I've actually
Jordan, been really... I feel like Jordan's weakness would probably be like maybe you probably got a sweet tooth, Jordy.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you got a sweet tooth, yeah. Man. I'd get you with the bag of Maltesers,
Last year I was 13 kilos heavier.
13 kilos?
13 kilos.
Were you just eating more?
Man, I was a little fat shit.
Really?
Man. But then I started...
So jiu-jitsu and the discipline has got to you, has it?
No, because I was really serious about my jiu-jitsu back then as well. But like, now I'm taking it serious. I want this to be
four
my
competitions,
career.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like now there's a lot of people making career off jiu-jitsu, living just off jiu-jitsu. This hasn't really happened that much in the last like 50 years. It's still a baby sport.
Mm.
Yeah, now people are making money off it, making
bank
career
off it, right?
Rich people off just jiu-jitsu. Yeah, Volkanovski off the UFC. Gordon Ryan now on just jiu-jitsu. Like, and now like I watch what I eat.
Well, you have to for competitions,
body.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to make weight.
I recover my body. like physio sessions, jiu-jitsu trainings, cardio.
Do you enjoy physio?
It's what I have to do. It sucks.
I fucking hate
it's
physio.
Painful. I'm like, I've got this little hip click I found out. Like, this has been an ongoing thing since I was like 14, 15, and I finally got it checked like the other week, and now it's
What'd they say it is?
I got an x-ray and I got like a little like anatomy problem in my hip, like tiny little thing, but it's creating like a little like a nick in my hip. So like for this, I need to like, before I come to the training, I need to warm up my hip.
All your enemies guys are listening to this right now. Learning your weaknesses. Mine was I went to the physio, and because I was getting pain in my right ankle. I didn't know what it was. And like kind of like a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
But it was like not going away. And I get like, yeah, and so I'd run on it, and then at night when I go to sleep, I'd put like the heat cream, you know, like deep heat. I'd put deep heat on it. And it would just throb, like it'd just be throbbing pain. So I went to the physio, and what it was I'm putting so much stress on my right calf, because that's my power leg in boxing. So as I'm moving around the ring and then throwing power punches, my right calf is like tensing, like under the load.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've never used it that much before, I've gone from like nothing to like super high impact.
Yeah.
Over the last 6 weeks, I've just tightened that right calf up to the point where I've got, you do like a bend test on your knee. So basically you put your, foot off a wall and you bend, your knee up against the wall, and you see, you start moving your toes back to see how much movement you have.
Yeah.
And my left was like 120 mil and my right was like 25 mil. That's how tight my right calf was. I couldn't even bend my knee past the line of my toes. And the physio's like, yeah, we've got to work on this, right? So takes me over to like just like light massage. And I'm like, oh, this is all right. Like the physio's not too bad. And he's like, okay, lie on your stomach. Boom. And then bro, seriously, like I felt like I was being like torture interrogated. I started saying shit that I have never said to anyone just to make the pain fucking stop. Hey, like,
oh,
bro, he got like, he's, so, he got,
admitting things.
Yeah, bro. I admitted to shit I hadn't even done yet. He got his fucking forearm, bro, and was like rolling pin it up and down my calf. Bro, I was in so much pain, right? Like I was gripping the leather of the massage bed, and man, I was sweating. That's how much pain I was in.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got to do it because I've got to like loosen up this calf.
It's got to be released, yeah.
Yeah, physio sucks, man.
They do suck. Yeah, it's quite painful. And I've never been a big fan. Look, I don't mind getting a massage every now and then. The worst one is your ITB down on the side of your leg. You know, when someone gets their elbow in that one.
Ooh, yeah, it's tender, isn't it?
It's funny, my defense mechanism for the pain on a massage table is laughing. So I went to a Thai massage place a little while ago. I ended up getting a bit of a surprise towards the end of it, but anyway. I had no idea it was what it was. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
But
sports massage. We rub everything down. Yeah.
Sports massage. But I remember when she was getting into my ITV, I was just on the side of the table, just pissing myself laughing. She goes, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" I'm just sitting. It's my defense mechanism. It's just a laugh. Yeah. That's all I can do. It hurts. But fuck it, if I just try and laugh my way through it, it's a weird defense mechanism, but it works for me. That is what it is.
Yeah, and she's like, "I've made you laugh. Now I'm going to make you come."
Well, pay for an hour massage. I was only there for about 7 minutes. I don't know what to do with the extra.
This is weird. Stop trying to grab my dick.
I don't know what to do with the extra 52 minutes. What do I do now?
So, and 7 minutes was her working on your ITV. It was about 8 seconds on the other thing.
Oh, it was a bit of fun. Nah, but the massages are, yeah, physio is, it's definitely rough, and you know, they've got their work cut out for them. It must be a tough gig, you know. I suppose it's probably a lot of fun for them as well, watching these, you know, especially footballers, you know, these massive 120 kilo guys, and they can, you know, have them screaming in pain. You know, with their forearm, even, you know, just a couple of fingers, you know, on the side of their leg and their ITB, you know about it straight away.
Man, I think the weird thing too about doing especially high impact sports is you start using things on your body that you're not actually conscious of, and they start tightening up. And then once you go to a physio and they start actually doing like all these tests on you, you're like, man, my glutes are real tight. And then they have to massage like inside of your glute muscle, like on the where you were talking about your ITB that runs up your thigh.
The side,
yeah. The side of your glute on the side of your bum.
Yeah.
Mate, that, if they start pushing in there, that is agonizing, bro.
Dude, like, I had this done on me like last week. Like, yeah. Man, like with my hip. So what's wrong is like years of like playing guard, having adults. I used to train the adults class when I was a kid, like 15, 13. Like, against like,
that's crazy,
adults. Like I was like a little kid, I was like 40-50 kilos against like full grown men, having playing guard, like them pressing against my legs, like all this pressure on my hip bones, like over the years, man, like it's just like it's gone bad. Like, so last week, man, like the guy, our physio, his name's Bruno. Man, this guy does magic. Like, now my hip's fine. But the things he had to do to me, like, elbow right in the back of my hamstring and the glute, like, muscles that I, like tingling in sensations that I've never felt in my life. This guy just banged this, just with his thumb, he put something on, like, the whole thigh just...
Where'd he put his thumb?
Nah, on my hamstring. Okay.
Just trying to make sure, because this is an adult-friendly podcast. Boys, anything you want to wrap up with, just to send a message out to people that want to get involved in jiu-jitsu or come to competitions and just try and like get a bit more eyes on the sport?
Yeah, look, the biggest thing about jiu-jitsu in Australia at the moment is it's definitely not a spectator sport at this point. But there are so many competitions week in, week out in Sydney, all over the country. There's competitions everywhere, and I'd really, really encourage anybody to go rock up to, just look online. There's a site called smoothcomp.com, and all the competitions are all based on there. There are all the information about them there, the locations, the times and everything. Go and have a look at the comps. Go and have a look at it. Like, one of the biggest things we want, is trying to get sponsors. We want to send Geordie back to the World Championships again. I want to compete all around the country. I want to compete on the Gold Coast again soon. So it'd be good to get some sponsors on board, get some more spectators there. Prize money in the competitions would be amazing. So sponsors on the competitions. So, I'd really, really, really love to see guys get to the competitions, actually watch, talk to the competitors, because we're the same as everyone else. We can, we're all battlers. We're all work full-time. It's not our full-time job. We're not NRL players. We really love what we do. And we want to show everyone how good we are at it. We want to show people our skills. We want to, share our knowledge. It's awesome. So if anybody's interested, jump on smoothcomp.com, have a look at where the competitions are, have a look at the times, rock up and support your people, support your family, support your mates. And if you haven't got deep pockets, jump on board. I'd love to put somebody's name on my gi or on my shorts.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So where can people find you?
So my Instagram link is galza_13. That's GALZA_13.
Just send your DM there. Anyone that's looking to sponsor.
Oh, I'd absolutely love it. If anything would be appreciated, even just entry fees and competitions. That's nothing much. That anything's appreciated. That's my Instagram, Geordie.
That's
all we have time for. No, I'm kidding. Could you imagine? His face would just drop like...
Nah. But like, that's the thing. Like, that's what we're trying to do. Like...
Yeah. Where can people find you, Geordie?
My Instagram, Jordan... It's my name. Jordan Dickey BJJ. But my name's spelled a bit different. It's GEORDON. And then Dickey. DICKIE. BJJ.
Mad. And are you you're obviously in a position where you'd love to get a couple of sponsors behind you?
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's the thing. I want to make this like my life.
Yeah,
this can only really happen with these like helps. Like
mate, now, I got sponsors for my fight. Like, it
helps, can't do it without so much.
It. Yeah,
it helps so much. Like what Pete said, paying registrations, like traveling, like this stuff. is hard for us competitors to get a hold of, you know? Like, we have to stop training to work, and then we have to stop working to train. You know what I mean? It's like a battle always. And, like, this helps, like, to help us get better, to help Australian Jiu-Jitsu to grow, and to make a name for ourselves, you know? Like, this is, like,
yeah,
the big thing we want.
Well, we could be sitting here with, you know, a future world champion, so... Yeah, I mean, you know, people out there, if you've got a sports business or a, you know, a brand that you want to launch, or even a company that's been going for a while and you're looking for a new athlete, you know, Jordan and Peter are, you know, they're looking for that help and help grow the sport in Australia. What a great opportunity. So
we're good. Sure, like I said, sure, any help would be unbelievably appreciated. So yeah, please reach out, guys, please.
All right, boys, thank you very much for coming in. It's been a great chat.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, legend.
All good.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.